Amen. If you're thankful for the blood, would you clap your hands? He is so good. Amen. I'm going to read you one verse of scripture and I'll let you sit down. Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. I want to dwell a few minutes on the first part of that verse. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. You can go ahead and be seated. This week, as we celebrate 250 years of freedom, of independence, I looked around today at the news and our country's in trouble. More people called socialists are getting put into office. That should make you so nervous. Darren, they're trying to erase the fabric of this country, trying to make it seem like that the reason this country exists was because people wanted freedom to worship the true and living God. I tell you why you want to erase the past, because if you can erase the past, you can control the future. You know, there's flesh, there's history, has a pattern of repeating itself. The reason history repeats itself is because flesh is flesh. And we truly need to learn from our past. But if I can change the past, then I can change your recollection, and then I can change your future. Let me give you proof. If they could erase the past of what happened 2,000 years ago, how would it affect the way you live your life right now? If they could erase the fact that it all came down to a man dying on the cross, saving the world. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but I worship on not what happened today. I worship on something that happened 2,000 years ago. I worship on something that happened in the past. And the devil tries to make me forget about what happened in the past so he can control my future. I want to read you just a little bit of this. This is the first prayer of the Continental Congress, 1774. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty King of kings and Lord of lords, who dost from thy throne behold all the dwellers on earth and reignest with power supreme and uncontrolled over all the kingdoms, empires, and governments. Look down in mercy, we beseech ye, on these our American states who have fled to thee from the rod of the oppressor and thrown themselves on thy gracious protection, desiring to be henceforth dependent only on thee. To thee have they appealed for the righteousness of their cause. To thee they now look up for that countenance and support that thou alone can give. Take them, therefore, Heavenly Father, under thy nurturing care. Give them wisdom, counsel, valor. I could read all of this, but you will never convince me that first prayer of the Continental Congress of this country, you'll never convince me that they weren't talking to the king that we still worship right now. You'll never convince me that the rod of the oppressor was those, Darren, who tried to control worship, and somebody had to make up their mind, I'm going to get to a place where I can worship in freedom. Here's the problem. The only way freedom and liberty actually works is if you put God at the head of it. If you don't have God at the top of it all, it falls apart and it crumbles. But I'm here to tell you today, man, I feel a little preachy already. I want to tell you this. The God that created you to worship him in unbridled fashion. He created you to worship him in freedom and in liberty. And I want to tell you this. I'm not talking about you walking around, because the same God, This freedom is not necessarily you moving about from here to there, because Paul and Silas understood what it was to be in prison but still be able to worship freely. This freely is not a posture of my body, it's a posture of my spirit. And I want to let you know, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. There is liberty. I'm telling you, there's no devil in hell able to stop you from your worship. You've been called unto liberty. You have been called unto liberty. You have been set free. You are no longer in the shackles and chains that the enemy designed for you to walk in. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad for that liberty? The problem is, Jason, when I look around, I do get a little concerned. Again, I want to reiterate, not for me. I got two little granddaughters back there. I get nervous about the trajectory of this country and the way it's heading. The truth is, it's like a runaway train going down the wrong track. And the church has sat by idly too long. Can you say amen? We have sat by idle too long. We said, well, we don't got no business with that. We ain't got no business in it. We do have business in this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is true. But we wrestle against principalities and powers. And if you don't see the spiritual wickedness that is trying to move in, and you say, oh, what can I do? It ain't about what you can do. It's about what you will allow God to do through you. I'm telling you, there was 12 men that turned the world upside down because they let Jesus work through them and move through them. What about you? What about you? Man, let me get where we live. Let me get where we live. When's the last time you prayed on our country? Now let me ask you a question. When's the last time you fussed about it? When's the last time you complained about it? And when's the last time you prayed about it? David served his generation by the will of God. Let me take you back to David's time. They had one king, and he already blew it. Let me tell you that again. There was one king in Israel, and he had already turned his back on God and his ways. He was rejected by God. So David walks into this situation that has already rejected God. But watch what one person with a relationship with Jesus really can do. Watch what one person, you say, it don't take a lot. It just takes somebody that's willing to give it to him, and he can multiply and he can move. I know we can't change Washington, but we can change Southern West Virginia. I know we might not be able to change what goes on in the whole country, but I can change what goes on in my house, in my car, in my atmosphere. I know that God can use me if I'm willing to allow him. Can you say amen? He served his generation, his own generation, by the will of God. Josh, I'm tired of hearing that it's too far gone. I'm tired of hearing that major religions are losing membership like crazy. Major denominations are reporting loss of membership. After 2020, the church has declined and some never recovered. Let me rephrase that. Some churches declined and never recovered. Jesus had a talk with Peter, and he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock, listen carefully. It's not Peter being the rock. It's upon that statement. It's that statement that he said, I will build my church. So to the Catholic that says Peter was the first pope and the first leader of the church, it wasn't about Peter. It was about the statement that Peter made. And this was the statement that he made. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. He said, upon this statement, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. That means one of two things. That means one of two things. The church is going to wake up and become overcomers, or Jesus lied. Either Jesus lied or the church is going to rise up and be the church. The issue is, where is the church? The issue is, where are we? I want you to hear my heart tonight. I want you to hear me. Because we've got so blended in with the world that it has made us so weak that now we do not have the power He designed us to have. Can you say amen? We are living well below our privileges. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Who's got keys? Let me see your keys. I'll lose them. So watch where I put them. What's this go to? This one. That goes to your truck? What kind of truck you got? What kind? GMC. What model is it? 2025? Relatively new. And if knowing you, I'd say it's pretty clean. Right, Shane? By the way, you are Shane's role model for cleaning vehicles. Can I borrow your key? Can I? No, I won't ask. Let me tell you what's going to happen if I go out there and I get in his truck. It's not going to ask, are you Johnny? The only thing it's looking for is the key. All it's looking for is the key. And as a matter of fact, my truck, when it doesn't have a key and I get in it, it says, no key detected. I own the thing. I pay for it. I pay insurance on it. But if I get in it without the key, I can't drive, even though I possess it. Let me give you something really interesting. I have been walking around in my house before looking for my keys. Guess where they were? In my hand. Anybody? I've walked around my house looking for my hat before. Guess where it was? It was on my head. I've looked and said, I don't know where the keys are. And I got them right there in my hand. Psychologists say, I looked this up to see if I was weird. Psychologists say, the reason you can do that, they say literally, the reason you can have your keys in your hand and begin to look for them is because your mind is on so many things that your short-term memory shuts down. They say the nerves in your fingers stop sending messages to your brain that the keys are in your hand because you are thinking about everything else. Then your mind goes back and you have completely wiped out the fact that you have the key. Listen to what I'm saying. I can't afford to do this in the natural. I can't afford to walk around, have the keys, and forget that they're in my hand. But we cannot afford to do this spiritually. He gave us the keys. We cannot be thinking about everything else and forget that the keys are in our hand. The key is in your hand. He didn't give it just to the apostles. He didn't give it to just the first 12. He gave it to every believer that says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have the keys. The key to what? He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He said, I've given you the keys. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose. Oh, there's a lot of arguments about this, a lot of debate about this. It's talking about church government, and there's a place that it is talking about church government. But right here, I think he's talking about something deeper. I don't think he's talking about how to correct people in the church. I think he's talking about there are things in our life that need to be bound. And there are things in our life that we need to loose. And guess who's got the key to do that? You do. As a matter of fact, you are the only one that has the key to bind and loose. He said, whatever. Man, that's a really open-ended statement, ain't it? Like, whatever. Whatever you bind. Whatever you bind. Whatever. Whatever. If you could bind anything right now, what would you bind? My neighbor's dog. I'd bind that thing. Some of you said, my neighbor. Forget the dog, I'd bind my neighbor. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. This seems really open-ended, don't it? But notice who he's talking to. He only gives this power to the church. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. I give them the keys. You know why he gives us the keys? Because the only way to be part of his church is to have his spirit. The only way to be part of his church is to have his spirit. Without his spirit, you are none of his. But he knows if he gives you the spirit, he can trust you with the keys. So now what you come in alignment with is this. You begin to bind things that are according to the will of God, because the Spirit will guide you into all truth. So now you are binding according to the will of God. You're not binding the guy pulling out in front of you. You're not binding the neighbor's dog. You are binding things that become in alignment with heaven. Now once you do that, listen to this. Heaven's got your back. I thought that would go over totally different. I said, heaven's got your back. So when you bind it, heaven says, we got you. We got you. So why are we not praying prayers like this? Oh, let me be really careful right here. You know what we do? We petition heaven for everything. Don't we? Don't we pray and say, God, I really need you to open this door for me. And he's looking at me saying, you got the key. God, would you open this situation for me? He's saying, you got the key. I gave you the key. Whatever you bind, I'm with you. Whatever you loose, I'm with you. Whatever, listen to the power of this. So we as Christians have got to wake up out of this place where what we do is complain about everything, but we don't pray, and we don't bind, and we don't loose. Why is this so important? Because there is a generation that is under attack, and Thomas, they don't even know they're under attack. There is a generation that are, we take them and we send them to public school systems that resemble war zones. And we took away the basic right of any soldier, and that's the right to pray, and we put them in those places. There are kids that are so confused right now. As a matter of fact, there's adults that are so confused right now, and it's because there is a spirit that is moving through our land. It's a spirit of confusion. It's a spirit of division, and the only thing that can change that is when the church rises up and says, I've had enough, and this spirit has to be bound. It has to be stopped. It has to be removed, and I have the authority to do that. We got the power. Why don't we use it? Because we have become so desensitized. The enemy has rocked us to sleep. You know how I know? Yeah, I know we're asleep right now because the enemy is running rampant. How many people kept up when we first went over and started doing it in Iran? How many people kept up with it? How many people are still keeping up with what's going on over there in Iran? How many people fell off a little bit? How many people kept up with what was going on with Ukraine and Russia when it first started? How many people have kind of just, actually, it's kind of getting hard to find anything about it. You know why? Because, man, when it first gets started, you're into it. You're into it. You know what the devil does? Oh, we got to ease back on this. We got to ease back on this. We don't want them praying. I got people in my life right now, when I try to talk to them about end times, Jerusalem, Israel, anything over there, I don't want to hear it. You know why? Because the devil has put us in a place that we don't want to hear truth, because if we hear truth, there's some conviction that comes with it. And when the conviction comes with it, it moves us into action. Eddie, I think he has called us not to just petition, but to act. I don't think he's called us to just sit around and ask God to do everything when he's already given us everything we need so that we can do what he's called us to do. He gave you his word. He gave you his name. He gave you his power. He gave you his promise. You got everything you need to take care of business. And we're standing here saying, oh God, please do this. Oh God, please do that. He said, you're my bride. I gave you the power. I gave you the keys. Now what are you going to do with it? Tell you what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to go home and sit on the couch and watch TV. That's what we're going to do with the power of God. Listen real close. I say this a lot and it's worth repeating. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all of those are going to be a witness against us. We did have time to pray. Welcome to Wednesday night service. We're so glad you're here. That's the problem. We all got itching ears, but man, we need to be woke up. There are people going to hell that we could have stopped. What'd you say, Darren? Go, send, or disobey? Did y'all catch that Sunday? Go ye into all the world preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's in your Bible. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Where are we at? Our generation is waiting on us. We can sit and complain about all the stuff that's going on. Or we can realize that the church is the most powerful entity on this planet. Now, let me repeat that. We are the most powerful entity on this planet. But the devil has distracted us. And yes, we're going to make it to heaven. Yes, because of the blood of Jesus. Yes, all that's going to happen. Yes, but that was not his design, was to save you and then you clock out and go to heaven. He designed you to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. He designed you to be the church. He designed you to walk in dominion and authority and power. And somebody is going to make up their mind, that's me. I'm not sitting by anymore. I'm going to fight. The next generation is in trouble if the church don't step up. How do I know? I'm going to tell you how I know. Because we got church leaders that Dustin do things that are directly contrary to Scripture and don't even know they're doing it. Shane told me this story. He was talking to somebody one time who is in church leadership, and they were debating a subject in Scripture, and Shane just wore him out. Scripture after scripture after scripture, till finally the guy said, you remember this? Okay, Shane, I know you know more scripture than me. He said, what does that say about you when the sound guy at our church knows more scripture than you? I'm not building up. I'm telling you this, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Except there is a spirit that is moving. And I want you to listen really close, because it has been calling us. It has been speaking to us. It's been telling us to come up higher. It's been telling us to get closer. It's been telling us to forget some of this worldly stuff that we've been playing with, that we've been fooling around with, and we need to come closer and draw near. He said, draw nigh to me. I'll draw nigh to you. I want you to notice the binding begins on earth. The loosing begins on earth. The drawing begins on earth. And heaven is always ready to respond. How scary will it be, Tracy, when we stand before Jesus and he looks at me and says, I was waiting on you to make a move. I was wanting to do something through you. Yeah, I could have kicked the door down and done it myself, but I gave you the keys. I gave you the power. I asked you to serve your generation. Well, what are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? The climate to get better? When I was young, I always wish I was a little older. Anybody? I can remember being a kid wishing I was an adult. Then I became an adult and I said, man, I wish I was a little bit older. I was a little bit old. Now I'm a little bit older and I wish I was a little bit younger. Because I thought when I was young, if I got a little older, people would take me more serious. I remember preaching at 17 years old. I had a lady tell me this one time. She came to a youth service that I preached, and this is what she said. She said, I love these youth services because you boys don't know the scripture. I don't preach very long. I said, man, I wish I was a little older. Now that I'm older, I wish I was a little bit younger. And we're constantly in this circle that we're never really satisfied with where we are right now. Somebody posted a picture one day on Facebook, and one of Eddie's sisters commented on it. And she said, psh, you probably thought you were fat back then. I don't think that's the comment you're supposed to be making. You know what the devil will tell you? You're not smart enough. You know what the devil will tell you? You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too loud. You're too quiet. He's going to give you a million excuses. But if you would just look down and say, there they are. Oh, there they are. They're there. This is the authority. See, now when you gave me the keys, you gave me the authority to do whatever these keys will do. Notice that the binding comes before the loosing. Did y'all notice that? I think these orders are important. I don't think it was haphazard. He said, you bind it, we'll bind it in heaven. You loose it, we'll loose it in heaven. You got people coming through prayer lines, and we're trying to loose them, but they got some things that need to be bound first. Because let me say it like this. It's hard to walk in freedom when you're playing patty cake with the devil. It's hard to come to church and get me, and some, can I? It's Wednesday night, can I? There are people that tell their children, I'll give you the option whether you want to go to church or not. You got the option. Well, let me tell you what kids are going to pick most of the time. Not going. And then you know what happens? They turn into a mess. And then you know what happens? They come back to me. And they say, I need you to pray. I really need you to pray for him. I need you to pray for him. And I'm sitting there thinking, if you'd brought him to church, I could have preached out of him what you're trying to pray out of him now. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Put somebody in the environment where somebody's telling them what God's called them to be. You got the key. See, now, when I give you this key, you got the authority. You can do whatever with whatever them keys. Do we understand what he gave us? So I made a vow to myself. I'll make it to you too. I'm going to quit complaining about it all the time. And I'm going to start praying prayers like, devil, I know she's in a bad spot. I know she's in a situation. But I know this, I got the authority and I've got the keys to wrap you up, tie you down, and stop you in the name of Jesus. Am I praying according to the will of God? Yes, I am. How do I know that? Because it's not God's will that any should perish. So what are we going to do with this? Get up. Stand up. March forward. Bind some stuff. And loose some stuff. What are we waiting on? Do you understand the power that we possess in us right now? In this room right now, man, I've never done this. I felt a shift. Somebody needs prayer. Step out. Come up. You need something bound. You need something loose. Just step out. Just step out. Whoever you are, step out. Come on. Come on, Andrew. Come on. Now, do we believe this works? Is it just good preaching and we all go home? You want me to show you something awesome? He's got a work for God. God has a work for him to do. You know what the devil's doing? Lying to him. You know why the devil's lying to him? Because he's not where he's at right now. Let me tell you what the devil gets nervous about, where he's headed. The devil desired to sift Peter. You know why? You know why he wanted to sift Peter? Because Peter was the one that stood up on the day of Pentecost after he'd already denied Jesus. The devil's trying to wear him out and stop him. And Peter's the one that stood up and preached and 3,000 people got saved. You don't think you make the enemy nervous? You don't know who you are. So whatever it is, we're going to pray. And we're going to pray believing that when he walks out of here, it's going to be different than when he walked in here. Is that all right? Anybody want to help me pray? I'm going to pray.